can read through scripture and I can see different people that I would love to be like. But then there's other people that you're like, oh God, don't make me like that person. I don't want to mess up like them. I don't want to be mentioned like they're mentioned. God, please help me not become that guy, right? Well, today we're going to meet one of those guys, and I've gone back and forth with like his name. So I was like Diophrites, Diotrephes. Like I wasn't sure of how to. And we're just going to go with Dio, right? Like there was Leonardo, and he got called Leo, and so let's just go with Dio there, Maddie. Okay, and we're just going to go with him because Dio is not one of the most famous people in scripture. Anybody heard of them before? Okay, a whopping, you guys read your text message today, right? Like, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that name before. Like that is not, like, nobody has their dog named Diophrites or Diotrephes. Like, you don't go into the hospital and say, we decided to name him Diotrephes. Be like, what? Like that is not there. That's not on the list. There's hundreds of biblical names, but people aren't choosing Diotrephes or Judas. I don't know why. Like that is just not there. And really, we only see just a couple verses about this guy. So maybe that's why we don't hear much about him. But Diotrephes, or Dio, he was in the church. He actually had influence in the church, and he apparently had some level of authority, although we don't know exactly what level. But instead of using that authority to lift people up, he used it to push people down. And that's what we're going to see about today. He would be known as the term, the bully, right? He was the church bully, And this passage may be yet another one in this entire series that is a little bit uncomfortable. And that's why we're doing this series, because we believe that Jesus sometimes came to comfort those that need comforted, but also made those uncomfortable that needed to be made uncomfortable from time to time. And so we're looking at the scriptures and saying, you know what, is this us? Are there things that need to change about us? Are there things that, because we've been seeing people that have been inside the church, not outside the church. We've been seeing people that profess Christianity, people that followed after Jesus, people that were Christians, but they were behaving badly, right? I believe you don't have to be outside the church to hurt the church. That many times that can happen from within. You can know the language. You can know all about the services. You can be at the services. You can even hold a position. You can even have influence like Dio here. You can even call yourself a leader. But pride can poison what God wants to do, not just in you, but also through you. That's what we're going to look at as we look at 3 John. Like, I don't know how many of you have read 3 John, but there's multiples, and it's more towards the back of your Bible, but we do have the notes in the app if you want to follow along here or on this giant karaoke machine. And in 3 John verses 9 through 10, it says, I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do need help, he puts them out of the church. So we're going to break this down. We're going to see, you know, how much of this applies in our own lives. But did you notice how John refers to him, right? Who loves to be the leader. Some versions say, who loves to be first. I don't know if you've ever known anybody like that, that loves to be in charge, that loves to be first. Like if there's a caravan, they're the ones that always have to lead it. Maybe because they have control issues. But there was a problem though. He didn't just want to be involved. He had to be first among everybody. He didn't just want to serve. He had to be seen. He He didn't just want help. He wanted to be in control. And there's a big difference between being placed in leadership and needing to be first, right? You can be somebody that God has entrusted with leadership, but when you're the one grabbing for it, asking for it, stretching for it, reaching for it, pushing others to the side. See, there's a big difference between serving in a position and worshiping that position. This entire series, we said, what are we really worshiping? Are we worshiping ourselves? Are we worshiping our finances? Are we worshiping an image? Dio here didn't just want to be a part of what God was doing. He wanted to be at the center of what God was doing. And he had a problem. And I wonder if we do too. I wonder if we can examine our hearts today. That's been our prayer throughout this series. God, search our hearts. If there's any flaws that are within me, expose them and do a mighty work in and through me. So as we do this, as we look at Dio here, what does it look like? What does his situation look like? And what does our situation look like? What does our motive look like? And so the first thing I would say, that pride is what Dio's battling with here, where he's making the ministry all about himself. This is that pride, what pride always does. It makes everything about ourselves. Instead of about others, Dio loved power more than he loved people. And when you love power more than people, then you begin to just use people as tools. They're there to agree with me. They're there to support me. They're the ones that are here to make me look good. You value them only when you're in control, or when they're serving you. But the moment they disagree with you, the moment they push back, the moment there's a little bit of a challenge, the moment God starts maybe even using somebody that's not you, how does that make you feel? When somebody else gets the job that you wanted, when somebody else gets the position that you wanted, when somebody else is singing the solo or playing the piano or put in charge of a department that you wanted to be in charge of. Now instead of being a peer, they feel like a threat. Isn't that what pride does? It turns people into competitors, into partners, into competitors and competition. Somebody else's success starts feeling like, well, am I not good enough? And that's not the case at all. Somebody else's opportunity starts feeling like you've been rejected. Somebody else's influences starts feeling like your loss. Before long, instead of celebrating what God is doing through somebody else, it's time to compete with them. It's time to go up against them, right? One of our values here, it's one that you walk in and see kind of right off to the right. It says it's not a competition. That's both inside here in the church, but also between us and other churches. It's not at all. Like, I don't walk into Baskin Robbins and say, okay, Rocky Road, you got to battle it out with Baseball Nut for my favor, for my... No, I walk in and I choose the flavor that's what connects with me the most, what warms my soul, right? The raspberry and the blueberry and the cashews that are in Baseball Nut, it got nothing on Rocky Road. Like there's totally different flavors. Many times I've described the church at large like that. We're not in a competition against the Grove down the road. Pastor Stacy down there is doing a great work. And the way they do church is totally different than the way we do church. And that's okay. We are Baptist right around the corner. They got their Baptist thing rocking. They got their Baptist thing going. And that's okay. It's not a competition. We can be complementary. And We can work together. We can serve our city together. If another church is growing, we want to be ones that celebrate it. If another ministry is reaching people, then we want to celebrate that. If someone else gets an opportunity, then we celebrate that. If somebody else gets recognized, we celebrate that. Somebody else gets a microphone, we celebrate that. Because if Jesus is getting lifted up, then the whole church is winning. If Jesus is being magnified, if he is being glorified, if he is being the center of everything, then it doesn't matter who's doing it. It's not a competition. The question's not about, did we get the credit? Did we get the glory? I wanted to be like Mike because Michael Jordan was and still is, those of you that cheer for LeBron, the greatest of all time. He was the star. Everybody knew his name. Everybody wanted his shoes. Everybody wanted to imitate his moves. But that's not the goal of Christianity. That's not the goal to become the star. The goal is simply to point people to Jesus, no matter who we are. Right? It's not about us getting the credit. It's about God getting the glory. And no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, as long as we can point others to him. Ministry is not about making sure that everybody knows my name. It's not making sure that everybody knows the name of innovation. It's about making sure everybody knows his name. That's what Dio forgot here. He was the one that had to be the leader, had to be first, would step aside for no one. But anytime you've got to be first, you're eventually and always putting somebody else last. Whenever you're the one rushing to the front. John says Dio was spreading malicious nonsense even about him, right? Pride divides what humility builds. Time after time after time again. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 26:20, fire goes out with wood and quarrels disappear when gossip starts. See, when Dio, when he couldn't control John, began to criticize him. When he couldn't have the upper hand, when he couldn't be the leader, it was, well, let's talk bad about John. Let's make sure and spread rumors about him. Sounds like a politician, right? Like, if he can't be in control, then I've got to call somebody else names. When he couldn't stop the ministry, he attacked the minister. The strategy can still be just as much alive and just as much well. When people cannot defeat the message, they attack the messenger. See, John says, Dio here was spreading malicious nonsense. There was gossip, there was rumors, there was accusations, there were whispers. And gossip can destroy in minutes what took years to build. A reputation that can take 20 years to build and take 20 minutes to damage. A relationship can take years to develop and one conversation divides it. But this verse here in Proverbs, if any of you have been camping this season, right? This summer season, I don't know why you would start a fire when it's 120 degrees outside, right? But it says no wood, no fire, right? We understand that, but no gossip means no quarreling. Some fires keep burning because somebody keeps bringing wood. And many times when you're at a campfire, that's a good idea, right? You're like, oh, I'm just going to go and get the wood. I'm just going to go. But there comes a point where, no, it's time to go to sleep. We got to let it down, die down. We got to douse it in water. We got to Smokey the Bear, right? You got to stir it, douse it, right? You got to make sure that it's gone out. Every time the drama begins to die down, somebody brings in another log, though. Did you hear? Let me tell you what they said, right? Don't tell it. Right? This is always the phrase that's interesting. Don't tell anybody I told you. Don't tell anybody that I told you. You didn't hear this from me. If somebody tells you that, maybe they shouldn't be telling you in the first place. And maybe it's time, instead of receiving that piece of wood, to break out the water and extinguish that fire. To throw them right in the face, right? If you got a drink, just throw it right at them. Tell them Pastor Billy told you. To not carry the story, to not forward the screenshot, not repeat the rumor, right? Please don't disguise it as a prayer request either. We just need to pray for blah, 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 and vomit all over the place, right? Because really, you just want to tell everybody what just happened. Sometimes we don't need to talk about people. We need to talk to people. We need to talk to God and actually go to the people. And that's actually living out what the Bible says. Matthew 18, when somebody sins against you, you go to them. Not around them, not about them, but you go to them. That is way more beneficial than just the check marks on the reading plan. Yep, I read that verse. Yep, I read that verse. No, when did you live that out? Because there's going to be plenty of opportunity to live that out. But when gossip comes to you, does it die at you? Are we the wood or are we the water? Before we repeat something, are we asking, is it true? Is it helpful? Is that person nearby that we can verify this? Is it necessary? Is it mine to tell? Because not everything we know needs to be repeated. But pride tears people down. But the opposite of pride is this word called humility. So where pride is tearing people down, humility protects people. Where pride spreads division, humility fights for unity. When pride says, I need everyone to know what they did, humility simply says, I want to help bring healing. What if we're not meant to be the wood, but we're meant to be the water? See, Dio used his words to divide the people. Followers of Jesus should use their words to build people up, to edify the body of Christ. But Jesus, he's the one that always shows us the better way. So I'm glad that we don't like look to Dio right here, Diophrites, Diotrephes, whatever you call his name may be, I don't know, but I do know the name of Jesus. He is the name above all names. He is the one that sets an example. See, John says that Dio didn't just refuse to welcome other believers, that he stopped other people from welcoming them too. He wasn't simply saying, you know, I don't want help. He was saying, and I don't want you to help either, right? He was making sure because he couldn't control it. And the dangerous question that everybody, I think, that we need to ask is, do I have to control it to celebrate it? So you don't have to be in control to celebrate something. When God does something that doesn't start with you, can you celebrate it? Can you celebrate somebody else's promotion? This will be tested at work, right? Probably this week, right? Somebody else gets the promotion. Somebody else gets the raise. Somebody else keeps their job when they should have lost it. When God uses somebody that you would never choose, can you celebrate that? When somebody has an idea that you didn't come up with, when ministry happens and your name is never mentioned or never even thanked, can you celebrate that? Dio couldn't. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle not being first, couldn't handle not being the leader, not being the one in charge. And so who is this John coming to take over? See, Dio valued position over purpose. He valued his influence more than the impact. He forgot that ministry was never supposed to be about him. What about us? We can start out serving Jesus and then somewhere along the way, think it's about our image. Think it's about our name. I think it's about our control. We can start out wanting for God to use us, and then somewhere along the way, wanting people to notice us. We can start out wanting to make a difference, and then wanting that feeling of importance, wanting that feel of honor for ourselves. But what if ministry is not about us making a name for ourselves, but it's simply about lifting up the name above all names? See John the Baptist, right? The guy that was locust and wild honey guy. He always said that he must increase, but I must decrease. More of Jesus, less of me. More purpose, less position. More service and less status. See, pride is always going to ask, how high can I go? How can I get a higher and a better position? How can I get more recognition? But humility says, how can I serve? What needs to be done? How can I make a difference? Jesus said in Mark 10, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Must be your servant. How does that look at work? How does that look as a parent? How does that look as a teenager? How does that look in our lives? We want to be great. If we're actually following after Jesus, are we doing it through service? See, the world says if you're important, then people will serve you, right? They'll fan you with palm trees, and they'll feed you grapes, right? But Jesus says if you want to be great, then you got to serve people. The world's constantly saying that you got to climb the ladder, that you got to chase after the American dream. And Jesus is saying, no, you need to carry a towel. The world says, make sure that everybody knows your name. And Jesus says, make sure everybody knows mine. Jesus, the one with all authority, washed feet. All the power came to serve people, not to be served by people. He deserved the highest position, but was always willing to be the one taking the lowest place. Dio wanted to be first, but Jesus willingly became last. All Dio wanted to do was protect his platform. All Jesus came to do was to carry a cross. And if Jesus could kneel down and wash feet, where are we at? Are we the ones that are willing to give it all up to serve somebody else, to love somebody else, to care about somebody else? I know some of you guys came in today and you're like, oh, there's no bagels. Ah, there's no coffee. How am I going to live? How do I have church? See, people were like, oh, should we let people know? I'm like, well, if we let them know, then they're going to skip church because there's no bagels. I don't want to let them know. There's not going to be no bagels this week. Oh, there's going to be no coffee this week. Oh, no, what do we do? How are we going to? We gave the teenagers a break. We gave the students a break. We're revamping the cafe, trying to make it better, more efficient, better serve those that are here, those that are coming. So we said, let's shut it down and let's see people's reaction. I should have set up a camera of you guys like walking around the corner. Oh, it was like you melted. You're like, oh, where'd it go? I don't know, my coffee, my bagels. I'm going to another church. I'm out of here. But we figured this Sunday was a fun one because it's not about us. It's not about our comfort level. It's not about our bagels. It's not about our warm cup of coffee. You know, I began today asking, who did you want to be like? You heard who I wanted to be like. And that was a lot of when I wanted people to know my name. But the older I get, the more aches and pains that I have, the more I realize that the goal of my life isn't to be like Mike, even though we share the same haircut. It's not to be like Abraham. It's not to be like David, not to be like Peter. It's how can I be more like Jesus? It's what I Love My Church Sunday is about all this year. Like, we're taking four Sundays of Christians behaving badly, and we're seeing all these people behave just horribly. And so I know it hasn't been like the most uplifting and edifying series of all. But we've been able to look at and see how others have got it wrong so we can avoid that. So we can not continue that same way, so that we can examine our hearts and say, what does it look like when we become like Jesus? Dio wanted to be at the center of it all. He wanted to be first. He wanted to be recognized. He wanted to be in control. But the only person that belongs at the center, we're actually going to close off with that song today, of Jesus at the center of it all. That he is the only one that belongs at the center of our ministry, the only one who belongs at the center of our family, the only one who belongs at the center of our lives. It's a lot of what the past few weeks have been about. That's why we go to summer camps. That's why we get away from and leave the devices and leave the friends and leave the TV shows and the late nights and the summer activities and say, you know what, God, we're going to make you at the center of it. And there's services in the morning, services in the evening, breakouts in the afternoon. Like there's just lots and lots of Jesus. And many times, parents are like, okay, this is gonna fix my kid, right? This is gonna make them more like Jesus. And they go and they have this great experience and they come back and they're like, man, Jesus is great. We wanna worship him. We wanna follow after him. But then we put them back in the same home because the home hasn't changed. Amen. What if at the home, I'm not saying you got like, wake up your kids, okay, it's time for Chelsea Bader to conduct a service here in the morning. No, I'm not saying that. Okay, we're gonna have a breakout. Angela's coming over and she's gonna teach our breakout today. Like, no. But that is one of the reasons why we, as a church, pay for a whole subscription to Right Now Media, so that some of the influences going on in your life. That's why even Miss Bailey was working on take-home devotionals that build upon the message week after week after week. And you're just seeing it as, oh, well, that's just one more thing. Yeah, one more thing to put Jesus at the center and to move everything else out of the way. To let the drive to school. That's coming up, I know. Let the dinner table keep him at the center. We as a church, we're doing more and more to try to help that. Because the moment we put ourselves at the center, everything starts revolving around our preferences, our recognition, our feelings, our position, our control. And today it's really easy to point, oh, Diotrephes, look at how bad he was. But as we reflect today, as we take this time, this song of worship, maybe it's time that we ask, is there any Diotrephes in me? Has Jesus been at the top of my list? And I check him off on a Sunday, but then he's nowhere to be found on a Monday. Is he at the center of my life, at the center of my marriage, or are we in control of everything? Is he at the center of my finances, or does he just get a tip if there's anything left over? What if our prayer was simply, Jesus, get the Diotrephes out of me. Get the pride out of me. Get the insecurity out of me, the need for recognition out of me. the need for a title, the need to control everything. Teach me to serve. Teach me to celebrate others. Teach me to stay humble. Teach me to protect unity. Teach me to lift up people above myself. What if the goal was not for us to be first? What if the goal is to make Jesus the center of it all? Heavenly Father, we come before you today. A time of repentance for not making you the center of it all. Making it about ourselves. Making it about our name, making it about our image. Jesus, you're the center of it all. God, may we live that out, that nothing else matters. And staying in a moment of prayer, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're here today, and the truth of your life is that Jesus has never been the center of it. Yeah, you've known about him. Yeah, you've been to church. You probably even knew the words to the songs. You know what to say, but you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus. The good news is that Jesus meets with us not to push us down, but to lift us up. That he came for our sin, he came for our shame, he came for our brokenness. And he died on a cross and rose again so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made new, so that we could be brought into a relationship with him. And the fact is, you probably knew all of those things. But today seems a little bit different. And that may be because Jesus is inviting you to stop living with yourself at the center, with your priorities, with your likes, with your dislikes, with your preferences at the center. And he's inviting you to surrender your life to him today. So if that's you, and you're ready to begin an actual relationship with Jesus, not to just know about him, not to just agree that even that he was the Son of God, but to make him the center of everything of your life, would you repeat this prayer after me? Don't worry, you won't be saying it alone. I actually ask us all as a church to say it together, because I truly believe that we're better together, that we're better when we spur one another along, when we lift up one another, when we pray for one another, when we meet with one another, when we eat with one another, when we do life together. So why not start off this prayer together with those that are making Jesus the center of their life today? So would you repeat this prayer after me with those that are saying it, meaning it for the first time? Pray, dear Jesus, I need you. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again. Today I ask you to forgive me for living life my own way, for putting myself at the center. Today I surrender my life to you. I ask you to be my Lord, and I ask you to be my Savior. Be at the center of my life. Make me new. Teach me to follow you from this day forward. My life belongs to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you celebrate with those that just said that prayer? You know, if you just said that prayer, we have a gift for you, whether it's in digital form or maybe you come up and pray with one of the prayer partners that'll be right here to the right and to the left of the stage. It's It's just seven essentials. What does it look like to follow Jesus? You know, what does it look like for prayer and worship? What does that mean? They say these words all the time. What is the Bible, and should I read it? Should I know it? Where should I start? Not Genesis. What is water baptism? What is that Holy Spirit that Pastor Billy talked about? Like, this fall we have a whole series, like 4 or 5 weeks, just like Holy Spirit 101, 102. What is the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? What's the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? It's going to be a great series. It's called Ghosted. Starts this October. What's the church's role in all of this? In following after Jesus, what does the church play? What does that matter? Whether you want it in a digital form with that QR code or texting the word follow Jesus to that one that's in front of you, or whether you come grab one of the physical copies today, we would love to get that resource into your hands. But before we leave today, I want to pray this blessing over you. Some would say it's a benediction, but I hope it's our prayer for you this week. That may Jesus be the center of everything you do. May he be the center of your home, the center of your relationships, every decision that you make. Why not slow down and make sure that Jesus is at the center? May he be the center of your leadership, of your teaching, teachers, because you only got a couple of weeks left. What does it look like if he's the center of your future? May God give you the humility to serve when nobody else notices, when nobody else cares, when nobody else is going to celebrate it, nobody else is going to see it. The security to celebrate when somebody else succeeds, the courage to protect unity, and the wisdom to use your influence to lift others up. May we serve. May we stay humble. May we celebrate others and protect unity. And keep Jesus at the center of it all. In Jesus' name.